From theunce.com, this is The Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to The Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. We hear a ton of new music every day here at theunce.com, but over the past year, one act has stood out as the new face of the electronic dance music revolution. Norwegian producer Alexander Winter, better known as Savant, has been cranking out tunes at an incredible pace, and in the process has developed a rabid fan base. That was the basis for his most recent album, Cult, which came out last month on Section Z Records. I got a chance to speak with Savant and his manager Josh Hernandez, the Z in Section Z Records, shortly after the album's release. Since then, the Savant video game has arrived, as well as bonus tracks from Cult. We'll get to the interview in a second, but first I want to remind folks that at tickets.theunce.com, you can find Michael Mennert Mafia packages to all the club dates on his forthcoming Space Jazz tour. The packages include tickets, posters, stickers, and more. We've also got Infrasound Equinox Festival passes at tickets.theunce.com. All right, on to the interview. So, Alex, let's start with you. Cult just came out on Sunday. Tell me a little bit about how the reaction has been. Obviously, you've got a pretty rabid fan base, so what has been their reaction to the album? I assume you've been taking your fans' temperatures throughout the week now.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of good response on it, and this one is doing really good right now. It's in the charts, and it's in all the charts on Beatport now.
You own the charts.
Yeah, it's like it's number one and stuff, and it's like that's why I called it Cult in the first place, because that's what I have, and that's what they do. They buy the music, they support, they're crazy about it, they're into it, and they're passionate about it. It's their hobby almost, this deal, you know? So I'm really appreciative that I have this kind of cult and that the album Cult did well as well. And I've read a lot of comments, and the cool thing about my albums are that nobody likes the same song. They all have their own favorite, and I love that. Some people is liking the weird track. Some people, it's like everyone's so unpredictable about what they want, what they like, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really happy about the response, and the best response I get is when people say, "Oh, I didn't even like that genre before, but now you kind of nailed it, and now I like it." So like this trap thing, you know, there's a lot of trap haters out there, and there's a lot of trap lovers, and when I made this track Chop It on this record, a lot of people went like, "Fuck, this is actually pretty cool." And I went like, "Yeah, damn straight it's pretty cool. It's fucking awesome. So why hate that shit just for the sake of it?" And a lot of people kind of turned their heads and were like, "Okay, I'm not going to hate on this." And I love that change of attitude, especially online, you know. It's like everybody's so anonymous and they don't give a shit. So that people actually care enough to say that, "Oh, I was wrong," or, "Oh, I take that back," or, "Oh, I'll change for this sake." You know, that's awesome stuff. And that's what I love about the feedback I get from all my records. People go crazy. I love that shit.
I'm glad you brought up Chop It, and I want to return to that in a second. But you might be maybe revealing something that you know, or maybe you're speaking out of complete ignorance on this, but why do you think that out of all the artists out there, all the producers out there making, let's just stick to electronic music, for instance, why do you think that your fan base in particular acts like such a cult, is so deeply involved with your music and feels that personal connection? I mean, there are, you know, there are artists out there, granted, who are bigger than you, maybe in name recognition, or have a wider audience reach, or even by being on mainstream networks like MTV or the bigger news or radio channels can reach more people. But why do you think that your fans in particular dive so deeply into the Savant discography and really do feel connected to you as a brand, as a producer, as a person?
Oh, dude, that's a deep and long question, man. The thing is that I don't think anything. I don't kind of assume anything. I just watch what's happening and kind of experiencing as it goes along, kind of recording it with my mind. So what I've been experiencing happening is that people are not used to artists being really honest about the bad and good sides, whatever. I'm a freak. I can't hide it. So let's just like I'm just being honest about a lot of stuff I'm doing, and the music I do is like, I don't give a shit if I release 10 albums a year and nobody can keep up with it. I'm just doing it because that's my art, and some people are catching up to this thing that, oh, music, it's not about making money. It's about doing something really creative, something really amazing, something really new and exciting for the mind. And dance music has all been about dancing, you know? It's all about the body. I try to make music for the mind. And it's listening music / dancing music. And sure. a lot of my fans have gone into this like, dude, I can listen to your music. Like, I listen to it all day long. I can listen to it while I play video games. And I get better at the games while listening to your music. It's like, people say the most fucked up shit. And I get so, you know, touched by all this. I have never seen any other artist get those kind of comments on their page and stuff
like that.
I'd like to contribute to this answer because I think it's a really important one that you're asking here.
Yeah, absolutely.
When we talk about the growth pattern or the growth cycle of most musicians, you know, they have to build up a fan base, and they do it normally over the course of like 3 or 4 years with, you know, maybe 2 album releases and a lot of touring and that kind of stuff.
And a lot of a lot of support from a major label in a lot of cases, and even magazine ads, or, you know, some of these more traditional forms of marketing.
Right. And what we've prided ourselves over in Section Z is that we're not going to do it that way. It's going to be a little bit different. And frankly, we have no choice when working with a guy like Alexander, because he is an anomaly. He's out of the normal range of the way that people do things. And I think that his fan base is so rabid and dives into the discography because he actually has one. and he's constantly contributing to it and constantly, like, you know, pushing that forward. It's just been a faster progression, I think, than most, you know, 18 months with this project. And he's already topping, you know, topping Beatport and has 39 items in the charts right now.
Sure.
At Beatport. That's really hard to do for a normal person. but he's just got the release rate that's absolutely crazy, and that's great. And I think that's part of why his fans are so rabid, is because he's constantly giving to them. Constantly. And that's a good thing. Get out the way, we ain't coming to play. A new day brings new opportunities. Say what you want, ain't nothing you can do to me. Do to me. My monsters marching, mashing on marks. Fuck the pigs, prosecutors and marks. We sleep all day, just waiting for dark. We hit the club just to tear it apart. We hit the club just to tear it apart. We hit the club just to tear it apart. We hit the club just to, we hit the club just to, we hit the club just to tear it apart. Chop it. Tear it apart. Tear it apart.
So I'm wondering, you know, Alexander is obviously turning out an enormous amount of content and is putting some songs online and maybe getting a tiny bit of traction. How do you, for lack of a better word, discover someone like Alex, or even go about trying to find who the next big artist is, if that is your pursuit?
So it's not. To us, like, the reason that Section Z exists was because it was a music community that started back in 1999, which was dedicated to other aspiring artists to collaborate and learn from each other online. And they were able to go to sectionz.com and upload their music, upload their actual like Fruity Loops files, and share with each other tips and tricks. And over the course of several years, a lot of these kids got really good, including, you know, one Joel Zimmerman, including one Alexander Vinter, who was like 15 when he joined. And they just evolved. The site took a different direction. I actually took a break from music for a while. Come back, and Shannon McGill's running the whole thing. And he's figured out this one kid who used to call himself Morphine on the website, who we thought was just like ripping tracks and uploading them because he was uploading 3 to 5 tracks a day. We were trying to reach out to him to get him on our new record label. That's how we did it. We have this amazing crop of artists that started very, very young, have matured and want to take music professionally. And because of the reputation that Sections he's built over the last couple of years with artists like Savant and our whole ethos of, you know, excellence over genre, to us, it's not about the trend. It's about really making a difference in electronic music and taking it to new boundaries. We're attracting talent that didn't know about Sections E before to want to come and release on the label. So it's been just in the pursuit of excellence and quality that this thing happens. We're not about the top 40 trends. We're not about fitting into that sound that everybody's listening to. We want to find the next Deadmau5. We want to find the next Savant. That's what we're going for. And while we have these guys on board right now, we're going to blow it up. Simple as that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Alex, you know, each time I write about one of your tracks, I'm compelled to note that you have produced over 10,000 songs. And every time I do that, I get some sort of comment that says, wait, that's a typo, right? That's 10,000. Is that even humanly possible? Tell me about how you're able to create tracks not only so quickly, but these aren't shoddy tracks. These are fully formed, well-produced musical ideas with point and counterpoint and balance and melody. And you know, you're releasing 10 tracks in the time it takes somebody to do one half as good, if that.
I can't say anything about how good I am. That's irrelevant to anyone and to the universe. It's not up to me to decide.
And I wouldn't make you do that.
Yeah, exactly. But my craft is something I'm very proud of. And the reason I feel I'm good at my craft is I've spent my life dedicated to it. Like, I have not done anything else. Like, when I was fucking 13, 2 hours... Now, my friends have been out drinking, partying, living out, you know, getting kids, everything, buying houses, cars. All I've done is made music. Like, all I've done ever is made music. I've never went to parties. I've never even went to DJ at parties. I just sat home composing, playing instruments, thinking about music, listening to music, getting it all in, sponge.
People do want to see you out. So how do you sort of make that transition from, you know, a studio hermit to somebody who does go out, does perform, and puts together a show that people want to see?
The deal is that playing live is very painful for me because I am a very sensitive dude. I have this super sensitive, like, my being is like, it takes up so much of the energy of people. It gets tiring really fast. So when I'm around a lot of people, like my it's very like, oh dude, it's really hard to explain, but something with my energy gets so weak. Mm-hmm. I get overstimulated. I get like, it gets really like, I'm taking all the details, dude, and it's a lot of detail when there's a lot of people. And playing live is amazing when I have the mask on and I'm in my zone. I zone out, I get into a trance, play live and all that stuff. But playing on the road and stuff is really, you get tired, man. I'm always longing for the studio when I'm out playing, and I'm like, I want to be in the studio making more tracks. I feel like making a track right now. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what I'm bred to do. Like, I'm a track machine. So I've just realized that, oh, dude, it's cool playing live and all that, but my real strength is in the studio. And when I come back doing live shit, I want to do, like, big shows and with costumes and, you know, big backdrops, you know, like really old theatrical style concepts and stuff like that. You know, Phantom of the Opera, you know, big stuff, you know?
Sure.
But right now I'm just DJing or playing at small clubs, you know, strip clubs in Florida and shit like that. It's like, that's not what I want to do with my life. So I'm just want to go back to the studio and, you know, pull up my sleeves and get on with it. So I can get to a point where I actually can play those big venues where I can afford those costumes and all that shit, you know? So, but that's what I'm looking for. And that's what, where the hermit in me gets out and like, okay, if I can play a show that looks really fucking cool, I'm gonna do it for the rest of my life. But right now I'm playing strip clubs and, you know, small clubs, rave parties.
You played one strip club.
It was
a former strip club.
Yeah, they all look like strip clubs to me, dude. They have a pole in the middle of the room. It's a strip club, dude. But yeah, but it's just, I love the fans I meet and all that. But dude, it would be so cool if I could deliver something on stage that they would remember for the rest of their lives. Right now I'm wearing a Guy Fawkes mask. I'm wearing a ruffled pirate shirt. It's like, that's it. Like, I want more. I want pipe organ on stage. I want, you know what I'm saying? Like, crazy shit. Ghosts flying around. Shit like that, you know?
I love this Phantom of the Opera sort of image that is consistent with the album cover and the way that you carry yourself and aesthetically aspire to that sort of dedication to craft and, you know, to the detriment of your social life and all of that. I wonder, though, if you think that you're on the cusp of a new paradigm. You're saying, you know, you don't want to have to do that icky road stuff. And, like, four dudes in an indie band who just want to go get girls on the road, exactly, making their songs between gigs, maybe that's something that works for them. But for you, who's so dedicated to the studio, and then you want your live show to be big and huge, there is a chance that you could continue making songs and putting them out there and selling them and getting big through your studio work. So by the time that you do want to go out and play live, you will have the fan base, the money to put into that production, that huge pyrotechnics, pipe organ, costume changes, all that. I think that this is a shift. We'll see this new brand of artist who gets to skip the icky bits in the beginning.
Well, the beautiful part about that is he's also going to have, you know, just like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people wanting to see him because he's not going to play as often as your typical quote unquote EDM artist does. He's going to be spending a lot more time in the studio and doing, doing more composing than touring. And that's a good thing. That just means that we'll have more time to plan out the shows and we'll have more time to, you know, make these things happen at that level that is necessary for, you know, for Alex to feel artistically and emotionally fulfilled doing these things. And that's what's most important about this. Like, I think the industry as it operates today is pretty standardized, right? And there's a lot of rules and there's a lot of, this is the way that things were done for X, Y, or Z person. And that's great for your typical guy, but this isn't 1+1, this is EMC squared.
A bonus track from Savant's latest album, Cult. By the time this podcast comes out, this show will be in the books already, but you're playing tonight with BT in Salt Lake City. I wonder, because you are so dedicated to your studio work, I wonder if you aspire to a career like his. Obviously, he's a beloved DJ, but on top of that, he's a composer and a mega producer who's tapped for all sorts of commercial projects, film projects. He has invented his own software and hardware. I wonder, I kind of see similarities between the two of you because, you know, his prowess is in the studio, but at the same time, he's going to put on one hell of a show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I have actually had the pleasure of hanging out with Brian on several occasions right now. And we've made a couple of tracks together. And while getting to know this dude, I really found we were really kindred spirits in a lot of places. Like, he digs my style, I dig his style. He's like a fountain of inspiration and information. So just by hanging around this dude, you kind of understand that this is exactly what you want to do. Because this guy is working on Hollywood. He's working on the dance floor. He's working on every kind of floor. You know what I'm saying? All the floors that's important for a music producer to do. He does games. He does fucking soundtracks for everything you do. And he makes all the sounds from scratch with his own instruments. And he codes songs from bottom up. He does all this crazy hard work that really nobody cares about but only him. And I do a lot of that stuff, and when I found out he did all this stuff the hard way and all that stuff, used 3 years on this track and stuff, I was like, is this possible? You spend all your dedication and all your time on this stuff. And he was like, yeah. And nobody does that. Everybody's like, you have this music thing as this hobby. Like, I believe, like, even the big guys right now, I won't mention any names, but they all have a girlfriend, or they all like to be outside fucking girls. And they all want to live a life that's kind of flashy. And, you know, BT isn't that dude. He never was. He's just a genius making music. So he focuses on that. And he's a studio dude for sure. And he plays live, but he's like, dude, I'm a composer, I'm a technician, I'm a producer. He's a sound designer. He wants to be in the studio making stuff. Playing it live is like showing people it, but he's all about the egotistical pleasure of making stuff too. So yeah, it was really a pleasure hanging out with the dude. And yeah, I have a lot to learn from this dude. And he is one of the pinnacles in electronic dance music in America. And that's why it's weird that the kids today doesn't really know about him innovating this EDM thing that people are really crazy about right now. You know what I learned? You know what I learned hanging out with him? He is actually one of the first dude. I think he was actually first dude in electronic music to have the thing we now call a breakdown in a track.
Wow.
On his first album, I think, he had something called a breakdown where the track actually just goes into this melodic. It was like a dance track, but it got into this breakdown part. And that was like, his DJ friends were like, you can't do that.
Well, and he also had the seeds of a lot of the future sound. Like, if you listen to The Great Escape on Emotional Technology, there are like seeds of a bunch of new genres inside of that one track, and it was like really pretty amazing. Like, he's just had such a huge influence.
Oh yeah, he's seen a lot of future stuff in his past, and I've told him that too. I'm like, dude, you're so ahead of your time. What the fuck? And he's like, yeah, I don't care. He doesn't care if he gets popular after he dies or anything. He's in it for the art of it. And I'm like, dude, I love that.
It's interesting because, you know, somebody who has been on the cutting edge of all these things in the industry is now working with Austin Collins, Fractal, yourself. Obviously, if he's seen you in this new wunderkind generation coming up and producing something new, he's seeing something in you guys. It's got to be, you know, if you think about it, he's been on the cutting edge of all these movements in the music and the technology. If he's looking to you and saying that you guys are the future, that's got to be the ultimate compliment in a way.
Dude, you know, the compliments that guy gave me when I was with him was not even the stars could say anything like that, you know, not even the sun. And if made me feel really elevated and special that he believes in people like me and Austin and Brady and Seamless too. And all of us are like, we're all like creative, we all want to do this FL Studio crazy thing. And like, even though Brady and Austin doesn't do FL Studio, they kind of see FL Studio as this, oh dude, we need to start using FL Studio, you know what I'm saying? So we're all into this kind of creative FL Studio mindset where we're all going like, let's create something new, you know, and let's create something we haven't heard before. And BT is like the guy behind us, yeah, you know, like, yeah, go, Forrest, run, Forrest. And he's like the dude behind us telling us to, you know, get there like the fastest possible. And
it's always good to see dudes like that, yeah. with a history, and take what they know about the industry or what they've known about the industry and and help bring up, you know, the new sound of that. And like, you know, to us, I mean, like, you know, that speaks to like what we want as a label. And it's not about the norm. It's definitely about like helping other people out, like helping people
that lasts realize, forever, dude.
Yeah, helping them realize their dreams. We're just along for the ride.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I wonder, but before I let you go, Alex, you've released Cult. Obviously, you know, your emphasis isn't on going on a giant world tour. I imagine the thing you want to do most is go right back into the studio. What can we expect from you in the coming days and months? We actually have to talk about hours with you since you turn out tracks so quickly.
Oh, yeah, dude, I have plans. I have lots of plans. I have plans for now. I have plans for next year. And it's all kind of concrete and nebulous at the same time. It's very it's very quantum mechanics in that. It's quantum physics. And it's like I have this super big plan, but if it fails, it doesn't matter. That's the kind of reality I live in. Like, I have these grandiose themes and concepts of albums, music videos, you know, everything. It's all the artwork and everything. But it's like, if that shit doesn't come together exactly like I wanted, I'm like, yeah, I tried, I learned. I'm happy. I'm moving along. I'm a dude that spits out albums. I'm not a dude who kind of, this track isn't, listen to it for 6 months and, that's the error. The snare needs to be 1 decibel louder. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that dude. I'm like, I know how I want it. I know how I want it now, and I'm finished with it, and I move on. So I have 2 more albums I'm planning for this year.
Wow.
I'm not going to say when, but it's like two more albums this year. And like next year, I want to do something like, I want to do a major video game or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about a movie. I'm just talking about, like, I want to do something, you know, a first-person shooter, a fucking 2D scroller, something really cool and huge that will come on PlayStation, Nintendo, or Xbox, or something like that, you know? So that's one of my biggest goals, and I believe if this Savant thing grows as it does, I will have some leverage to kind of kick in the door some places and tell, hey, I want to make some music for you guys, and they'll be like, oh, dude, that's the Savant dude, and I will, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to build up my credits to start working with games, actually, you know, and that's gonna be crazy. Like, we're already making games of Savant, and I of course get to make the music for those games.
hopefully,
but. I want to be directed. I love being directed by other good artists with vision.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to have a director that tells me the emotion he wants in that track. And what, you know, who tells me the whole story of the game and is passionate. And like, dude, go nail it. And I go to the studio for a week and I come back and I fucking have this orchestral chiptune craziness, whatever. And that's what I want to do for a living when I grow old and shit. Just make video game music and shit like that, you know? So I'm trying to get my foot into that door in 2014. That's my biggest goal. And when I do shows, I want to do like the big cities. I want to do the big costume, big light show, big what's it called? LCD screen, no, LED light screens on the back and everything, you know, big stuff. I want to try to get there and I want to save the money to get to do that and like spend all of the money on the show and just get big, create the biggest show ever, dude. Spend like $4 million on it and I'll create the biggest show in the world.
Don't give your manager a heart attack. Don't give him a heart attack. Hey guys, thank you so much for being on the show. It was such a pleasure having you on.
Yeah, likewise, dude. Like any time, dude.
Butterfly from Cult taking us out today. Special thanks to my guests, Alexander Vinter and Josh Hernandez of Section Z Records. Savant's most recent album, Cult, is out now on Section Z. You can also grab the brand new Savant video game at savantgame.com, where it's available now for PC, coming soon for iPhone and Android. At tickets.theuns.com, we've got tickets to all the club dates on Michael Mennert's Fall 2013 Space Jazz Tour. Join the Michael Mennert Mafia and get limited edition posters, stickers, and $5 off purchases of $15 or over at the Michael Mennert online store. Please visit theunst.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates, as well as tickets to some of the biggest shows across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Unst podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunst.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theunst.com. Join the conversation @theunstpodcast on Twitter.